Welcome to episode 5, Through a Common Lens. This is Alexis Petrie. For this episode, I interview the HLC co-chairs. I ask them all sorts of very concrete questions about the specifics and details, everything we know at this point about the site visit. So I hope this is an informative episode for you. Would you please introduce yourselves?
My name is Ken Novak. I am the co-chair of the university's Higher Learning Commission reaccreditation process. My day job is as a professor of criminal justice and criminology, and I've been at UMKC. I'll be starting my 20th year at the university as a faculty member.
And I'm Cindy Pemberton, currently serving as a deputy provost. I co-chair this work with Ken. I've been at the university for just about 20 years. I do a variety of tasks in the provost's office, and serving as the accreditation liaison officer has been one of my roles and responsibilities.
What is accreditation?
The way I think about accreditation is it's really a process that institutions go through, or in some place, and sometimes programs, academic programs, go through to demonstrate that they're meeting and exceeding certain standards related to quality. We happen to be accredited by the Higher Learning Commission, and in addition to meeting basic standards and exceeding those in many instances as a reflection of quality, they're also very interested in seeing that institutions are continually trying to improve. And so that's one of the things that we'll be talking about in our argument, as well as talking to our reviewers about.
Yeah, all the different ways we're always trying to improve. Mm-hmm. And not just last year.
Right.
And
right.
Part of the idea of accreditation is not just demonstrating this to accrediting bodies or whatnot, but it's part of the public trust. Mm-hmm. It's part of demonstrating to the public that the university is providing a public good and public service, as well as doing so in a efficient and effective manner. This is just our opportunity to reflect on that that role and that responsibility, and communicate those types of things to a variety of different audiences.
So who's been involved so far?
Well, we've had a very large group of faculty, staff, and in some instances we've had student voices as well that have been involved in looking at the criteria, in helping us to collect evidence to show that we're meeting and are exceeding those standards, as well as actually writing the argument. We've had conversations with internal faculty, staff, student groups, as well as some of our external groups. We've had the UM system leadership that will be involved in this process. So there's a wide variety of people that are involved in it.
So it's really an all-campus thing.
It is, because obviously all of us are here for the primary purpose of teaching and learning process. And so in some way, shape, or form, every role and responsibility on this campus contributes to that in some way. So getting everybody engaged in this is really part of this process too.
How has accreditation changed over the years?
Well, accreditation evolves over time. Two different ways I think about it. One is in terms of its focus. Like any industry or organization, the focus of what best practices are tends to evolve over time. This is particularly true for online learning and things like that. So accreditation in terms of what is industry standards and what is best practice evolves naturally over time. But then also the process is a little bit different than it used to be. This is a accreditation cycle that comes up every 10 years, and so many of us may not have been terribly involved the last time it was conducted at UMKC. So a lot of this may look very new and foreign, but as I understand, previous accreditation processes were very paper pencil driven, very hard copy, provide as much information as possible, and let the peer reviewers or HLC sift through what's important. What's going on now is a much more focused approach to demonstrating and meeting the criteria that we're asked to respond to. This is, of course, since 2019, it's all digitized. And so instead of paper pencil and three-ring binders and whatnot, this is all an online process, which makes it a lot cheaper and a lot more efficient and expedited in that process. The idea of accreditation has two specific elements that are most visible, and I think Cindy touched on this already. One is making an argument and responding to questions that are asked, but then also, more importantly, providing tangible evidence to support those arguments. I'm not sure how accreditation in the past has always been tied to those two specific things.
So we don't get to just make wild claims.
Wild claims without evidence are of no use in this process.
I would think that one of the things that has remained constant, at least in recent history, particularly with the Higher Learning Commission and its accreditation process, is it's always been a peer-reviewed process. So the folks that are coming to look at the institution are at other institutions. They've been trained to do this work. So it is that basic fundamental peer review process. So they're not only going to be looking at our electronic documentation, but they'll actually send a team here on campus in early December. We'll have a campus visit team that will be here, that will be interacting with a variety of folks over about a 1.5 to 2 day visit. And so that's an important part of this process that's been consistent across time.
You go to a lot of meetings about accreditation. And have you heard any interesting stories that can come as a form of advice from other campuses or?
Well, I think one of the things, and it was mentioned previously, that this is the Higher Learning Commission runs this on a 10-year cycle. And I think that institutions in the past maybe have done this process and then kind of put it on the back shelf for a while. And then as they got close to that 10-year window, would then kind of gear up to do this process again. And really with the change in how the Higher Learning Commission is executing on this accreditation cycle, they really want institutions to continually do this reflection all along this 10-year cycle. And so as we move forward, we'll actually have a 4-year responsibility of reporting that'll kind of be in the mid part of the 10-year cycle. And so that will help remind us that we need to continue to do this work. So I think that's one of the big things. I think also from talking with colleagues who've recently gone through this revised process is, you know, starting this process early. One of the things that many institutions don't have oftentimes readily at hand are evidence. And so that's been one of the things that we've been working on, is to collect evidence and not only collect it now, but have it readily available at any point in time we might need to be reflecting on something or asking a question of ourselves.
And, you know, this is the type of thing that healthy organizations do, not because of accreditation, not because our time is up and we have to demonstrate that, you know, we are doing the things we say we're doing. This type of self-reflection and documenting the types of activities that we're engaged in on a regular basis is simply what healthy organizations do. And when you have large, complex, sprawling organizations like UMKC, sometimes that becomes a little bit more challenging. So to Cindy's point, to the extent that we can institutionalize these types of criteria and different tasks and collecting evidence that we're doing what we say we're doing or think that we're doing, that is just simply what a responsible, healthy organization does. And it's also very consistent with the idea of transparency to the public.
I think, too, one of the things that at least my experience has been in doing this work and working with colleagues in this is that I think most people would find it very interesting to get a sense of the scope and the breadth and the excellence of the work that goes on here. Many times we kind of get in our roles and have our own responsibilities, and we experience this in a very narrow way. And I think most of the feedback that I get from colleagues who do this work is, you know, they had no idea that we were doing all these different things. And it really gives us a chance to reflect on how impactful we are on our students and our community.
We're our own best critics. Right. Mm-hmm. Should we get an accreditation man?
I think we should get two. Are you thinking about like a brand management type of?
So have you heard that story about the university that got like a Gumby sort of blow up accreditation?
I have heard
man?
That. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure what value that adds exactly. I'd have to think about that a little mm-hmm. bit. But I think the point is solid in that we need to make sure this is an all-campus effort. We need to make sure that this type of responding to our accreditors is not siloed amongst a handful of administrators or faculty or staff. To the extent that this becomes an all-campus collaborative type of effort, the more successful we're going to be, and the more likely this type of behavior is going to become institutionalized at the university.
How can listeners become involved?
Well, other than some of the things that we've talked about already, the open forums that we will have, the formal dates, our review dates are December 2nd and 3rd. People can get involved by looking to those and coming to find out what they're all about and sharing their perspectives, I think are really good first steps. Cindy had mentioned previously familiarizing ourselves with the relatively new strategic plan and mission and values. Those are all very important components of this process. And, frankly, that's something that I think a lot of people will put on a back burner and not really think about when in reality it should be guiding a lot of what we do. One of the benefits that I think the university has is that many of the things that we say we value are right in line with what the Higher Learning Commission values or says that institutions should value. So we're not cramming for a test. We're simply trying to determine how to best put our foot forward to demonstrate what we do already. To that end, it's an all-campus effort for that.
I'd say that one of the other pieces that we might direct listeners to is a relatively new document that's been shared on campus, and it has to do with what's called Roo Strong, which is really a plan that connects directly with our strategic plan, but is focused on how we as an institution support student success, specifically helping students persist in their programs of study as well as ultimately complete. And so that plan is available on the website. People can read that, have a better understanding of the direction that we're trying to move, what kinds of support services we're striving for in terms of providing optimal support for students as they move through their academic experience. So that's probably another thing that I might suggest that people can familiarize themselves with.
Mm-hmm. That's great. Should we be wearing anything special?
No, I don't think so. I think they want to see exactly how we go about our business. And so, but I will say that,
UMKC t-shirts on everybody.
You know, if people want to do that.
If that's what you wear, that's what
you
wear.
Right. I think we want to be authentic and we want to be ourselves. Obviously, if a stranger comes up and introduces themselves as a HLC site visitor, you know, being courteous and trying to be as honest and authentic and answering any questions or assisting them would be very helpful. So, mm-hmm.
We have a really challenging date for our site visit. So it's the Monday and Tuesday after Thanksgiving. So that, I mean, it could be cold and icy. It could be all kinds of things, and but at least they'll have plaza lights.
That's true. That's true. And obviously, we'll be working very hard as to prepare the campus prior to the Thanksgiving holiday, as people want to move away for a little bit, take a little bit of a break. But we'll be prepping the campus for having our visitors on campus as soon as that holiday break is completed. So.
Everybody knows how busy the time between Thanksgiving and finals are. So this is just going to be part of that.
Again, I think that, as we mentioned before, our site visitors, our peer reviewers, our colleagues, they work on campuses. They understand the ebb and the flow of the academic experience. So this won't be unusual for them, I don't think. Yeah.
Is there anything I didn't ask that you would like to mention or add?
You know, I'll just add, you know, one of the I believe that the HLC in general and our peer reviewers in particular want to see success. I don't know if this is an inquisition or anything like that. I think that everybody wants to see UMKC succeed. And part of my evidence to that is how many resources have been available over the years for institutions to engage in best practice and reflection and those types of things. I know that the term peer review sometimes can conjure up some negative or scary images, particularly amongst faculty. But I don't believe that that's the type of peer review that we can expect. Because these are colleagues at other universities, I think that they are as interested in our success as others. So I don't think we should be approaching this as a anything like an inquisition, you know, where the stakes are very high. They are high. But I believe everybody involved in the process wants to see success. And so if you approach it with that, I think it makes it a much more genuine, much more authentic type of process.
Just as we've mentioned, I'll reinforce the idea of having as many people participate as possible. We know that everybody is extremely busy, but this is very important for the institution, for supporting our students. And so we want to be sure that anybody who's interested in supporting and engaging this process has the opportunity to do that. So if you're in a situation you don't hear much about it, reach out to a colleague, a supervisor, and I'm sure we'll be able to get information to you. Again, this is all about all of us doing great work in support of our students and their learning here at UMKC.
Big thank yous to Cindy Pemberton and Ken Novak, the co-chairs for UMKC's HLC accreditation reaffirmation, for visiting with us about the nuts and bolts of accreditation and letting me ask some of the questions that might be on people's minds. That concludes the podcast series. Thank you for tuning in. It's been wonderful being your host over these episodes, and I really hope that they have some bit of value or are helpful in helping you prepare for the visit. It's going to go great. Thank you very much.